a prize and tells Roger that she's frightened they'll both die before HS2 is completed. Conversations from a Long Marriage is our 6:30 comedy next.
BBC Sounds.
Is Batman actually a baddie?
Wayne Enterprises have a huge carbon footprint.
What's really going on with Marvin Gaye?
The moment you play it, everyone's raising eyebrows.
Was Cleopatra a snake or a saviour?
She's manipulated Roman leaders.
Maybe she had a great personality.
I'm Russell Caine and this is Evil Genius. It's where I join a panel of comedians to reveal surprising things about historical icons. Not even the hobbits are safe.
I'm on board.
Have you dated any?
Evil Genius with me, Russell Caine. Listen on BBC Sounds.
Now on Radio 4, Joanna Lumley and Roger Allen star as a long married couple who love talking to each other.
Conversations from a Long Marriage
by Jan Etherington.
Starring Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allen.
Episode 4.
If you go away.
The things we do for love. The things we do for love.
Oh, let's just go back home.
No, we're going to the hospital. Get you checked out.
This will probably pass. And hospitals have got far more important things to worry about.
Nearly there.
I'm frightened.
I know.
Say something.
If I say it'll be fine, you'll say you don't know that. And if I say, of course you're frightened, it could be serious, you'll say, that's not helpful, stop scaring me. Normally I'd put my arm round you, because that is usually the safest option. But I can't do that because I'm driving.
That's a very analytical response to an emergency.
Proves my point. I can't win. But whatever it is, we'll deal with it together, OK?
My phone battery's low.
Want me to go back and get your charger? That was a joke.
I don't want you to make jokes.
I'm sorry. Does it still hurt?
Yes. Right across my chest. It's a kind of tightness, like a too small bra, only worse. And also a fluttery feeling. I can hear my heart in my ears.
Okay, try and breathe slowly.
I don't want to die.
You won't die.
You don't know that. You're not a doctor.
But trust me, I'm a husband.
My dad was only 62 when he died.
I know.
Of a heart attack.
I remember. Very sudden.
He had chest pains, took some aspirin, didn't think anything of it. And then he just died. Younger than I am now. It was a huge shock.
It was. I was there.
And I had chest pains for months afterwards.
Psychosomatic, you were told that.
But I've got his genes.
More importantly, you've also got your mother's genes. And if she hadn't broken her hip playing tennis at 96, she'd still be with us.
I never have anything wrong with me, do I?
No, you're a superwoman.
I haven't got time to be ill. I've got the reunion this month. I can't let the girls down.
You don't know that you're ill. We've just had a long lunch.
You think it could be indigestion?
Seems a distinct possibility.
I don't get indigestion. You're the one who takes a bucket load of Rennies after a mild curry. Not me. I can eat anything.
I discovered that the night we met. You pinched my chips. That's when I knew you were the one for me.
Interesting criteria.
A woman who loves food usually has a very healthy appetite in other areas.
Oh,
and so it proved.
Don't make me laugh. It really hurts now.
Sorry, darling. Take some deep breaths. Here we are. I'll drop you at A&E and park the car.
No, I don't want to go in on my own. I want you with me.
OK. Well, I'll have to try and find a space first. Hang on to this stupid token for a sec.
Tell me something else about us.
What? I'm trying to park.
I know, but I'd like to have something to think about while I'm in there, having tests, maybe a heart operation.
I love you. Will that do? Now, keep your eyes peeled.
What do you love about me?
That you never give up trying to turn me into the man you deserve.
And I'm almost there. Just got to prise you away from your 24-hour TV news addiction.
Look, if I can't find a space soon, you'll just have to get out.
Oh, look, she's leaving, in the Mini.
Yes.
I don't want to go in there. I want to stay with you. I'm scared about what they'll say when they see me.
They'll say, who's the lucky guy with that beautiful woman?
I love you. Did I say that? Oh, I'd better give you the car park token.
Keep
in case
it. We'll be coming home together.
Oh, hello, gorgeous house. Hello, lovely, lovely coat stand. Hello, divine art echo mirror. Oh, hello me. I look happy. I am happy.
You hide it so well.
Oh, and thank you, darling. Let me give you a great big kiss.
Whoa! You've been told to avoid excitement.
I'm definitely giving up coffee.
Good idea. But I think it was the fact that it was Turkish coffee and you had 3 cups of it.
Oh, I should have known. We mostly have decaf these days. Not used to it. But I love my 1 cup of proper coffee in the morning. Do you think I should give that up too?
Did they give you specific advice?
Oh, they asked me a lot of daft questions. Like, can I cut my own toenails? Jesus.
That's not a daft question, given your age.
I think we all know it's not when you were born, but your biological age that counts.
Yes, but they don't know you're an age-defying Wonder Woman, often mistaken for my daughter. All they had was your birth date. Did they actually tell you to give up caffeine?
I told you. They said the excess caffeine had made my heart race. But I had an ECG. And they said there was no evidence I'd had an incident, as they called it.
Did they suggest you go on statins?
They want everybody to go on statins.
For a reason. Did you agree?
I just said, let me see if I can fix it myself first.
You're not Marie Curie.
But I want to be in charge of my own health.
Look, I know you're very fit and do a lot of exercise, but we're both getting older. Stop humming and listen.
I don't want to listen.
Take your fingers out of your ears. This time it was probably just a caffeine overdose.
It was.
And I know you think you're immortal.
I don't. I just know my own body, and I want to look after it my way, preferably without pills.
Don't dismiss the possibility that there might come a time when there's something you can't fix with Pilates, swimming, or a bolshy attitude.
I'm not being bolshy. I'm going to get a blood pressure monitor machine and keep a record and see our doctor in a month. Who is our doctor?
I think it's about time you found out.
Oh, stop lecturing me.
I'm not.
Would you rather I was a delicate little flower who had a fit of the vapours every time she lifted a roast chicken out of the oven or rushed to the doctor's with a splinter?
Well, at least I'd be able to protect somebody like that.
I don't need protection.
That's my point. If you won't let me look after you, I want to be sure you're looking after yourself, because without you, my life would be a lot less noisy.
Okay. I promise I'll look after myself. Coffee?
That didn't last long.
Coffee in bed.
Hey, what's the matter? What time is it?
It's 3:47. No, 3:48.
What's up?
Do you think we'll ever go back to Australia?
Do you want to?
It's sad not to see it again.
There's no reason why we won't see it again if it's that important to you.
Marion and John are going. They've been lots of times.
They've got grandchildren in Melbourne.
We haven't.
I know.
We've never been to Machu Picchu.
True.
Or the Galapagos.
Oh, I know what this is about.
Do you? I don't.
You got very scared today. Yesterday, when you thought you might be having a heart attack, and then you got very euphoric when you realised you weren't going to die, and now, in the empty hours of the night, you're getting a reaction to all this.
Did you know HS2 won't be finished till at least 2040?
Oh, ye God, what? Yes, I did, so?
It's 20 years away. That's so upsetting.
Only if you need to get to Leeds or Manchester in a belting hurry. And I don't think you ever have.
That's not the point.
It's not?
The point is, we may not be around by the time it's finished.
Judging by its progress so far, I think the same might be true of today's teenagers.
We could be dead by 2040.
So you're upset because we might die before the train line's completed?
I'm upset because we might die.
There's no might about it.
I don't want to be in a world if we're not in it, do you?
The chances of finding a remotely sane answer to that question are slim to impossible.
We can't go yet.
We're not going yet.
What have we achieved? What is our legacy?
We worked hard, made lots of friends, and mostly we were kind.
But there'll be no blue plaques outside our house. I want a blue plaque. I'd like to have one that says secret agent, like Violet Szabo.
You're too young to have been a secret agent.
No one will talk about us when we're gone.
Our friends will.
They'll all be gone too. We thought we could change the world.
We jolly well did change a lot of the world, and our generation is still changing it, or trying to.
I want an obituary in the Times.
Saying what?
She won the Booker Prize.
You have to write a book first.
Or rode a motorcycle round the wall of death. Anything. Recognition that I was here, I was alive.
But you won't be there to read it.
I know. That's what's so sad.
If you go away, as I know you will, you must tell the world to stop turning.
It's John.
Great. Bring him in. I need help with this crossword.
He's gone.
That was bloody quick. Is he off to the airport?
No, he's really gone. He's dead. John has died in the departure lounge.
Oh, my God. How? What happened?
Well, Rosie just phoned. He collapsed. They tried CPR, but... Oh, I can't believe it.
We only saw them in the grapes last week.
Oh, such a happy, fun evening. He was talking about doing the marathon.
John, of all people, super fit cyclist, runner, brain the size of a planet.
All round genuinely lovely guy. Marion's terribly upset.
Well, naturally, they've been together nearly as long as us.
Yes, but she's even more distressed because they had a row, Rosie said. The flight was called and Marion realised she hadn't got any antihistamine. So she said she'd nipped the chemist and John said, we're not going to the Mongolian salt plains, you can get some in Australia. And she said, I might need them on the flight. You know, she's got lots of allergies. And he got really, really cross.
That's not like John. I've never seen John lose his temper.
Anyway, Marion stormed off, and when she came back, he was on the floor, surrounded by people.
God, that's really terrible.
Rosie said she's inconsolable.
I'm not surprised.
Because she thinks it's her fault he collapsed.
Bound to. That'll take her a while to come to terms with.
You know what he said to her? Bugger off to Boots then, but I might be gone when you get back. He just meant the queue might move forward.
Of course he did.
But those are the last words he ever said to her. I might be gone when you get back.
That's really hard.
He was cross with her when he died. How heartbreaking is that?
And she was buzzing around Boots, probably calling him names.
Oh, and also she wasn't with him when he died. Just strangers.
More guilt for her.
Who would ever have thought John would go first? It's not fair.
Death isn't fair, just inevitable.
Yes, at the end of a long, long life. But John, he loved life so much.
And we'll never see him again.
We seem to be going to more funerals than weddings these days.
That's just the age we are.
Do you think about dying every day?
Not every day anymore, although I did last year whenever the rates of infection went up. It seemed inevitable we'd catch it.
Every sniffle, every cough, we thought that was it.
You kept burying your nose in a bunch of basil to check your sense of smell.
I really thought I was going to die yesterday. I thought my heart would just stop.
And I could go tomorrow.
Oh, don't say that. Give me a big hug.
Okay. But I am planning to still be here tomorrow.
Oh, have you fixed the gate?
What?
I don't know why I thought of that.
I do.
Sometimes we're strong. Sometimes we're wrong. Sometimes we cry.
It's good to get some fresh air, isn't it?
Wonderful. But as you seem to be pace-setting for a middle-distance runner, I think my knee could do with a rest. Shall we sit down here for a bit, mm-hmm. if we can avoid the bird crap?
It must be great being a pigeon.
Pass.
Oh, any bird. All those people down there in the streets. Some of them are lonely or sick or have lost someone.
And others are deliriously happy, celebrating good news or planning a wedding.
Don't tell me to cheer up.
I wouldn't dare.
I heard you get up in the night again.
Neither of us are sleeping very well, are we? Not surprising.
I keep thinking about poor Marion.
Me too. And how I'm going to write this eulogy.
Has Marion decided whether to say something?
There's no way she can do it. Mm. She's just sent me the quote she was talking about.
The Shakespearean one?
Yeah. She wants me to say it at the end on her behalf.
Which one is it?
I've got it on my phone. Do you want to hear it?
Will it make me cry again?
Undoubtedly.
Oh, read it to me then. No, wait. Let me find a tissue first. Okay, go on.
Come, gentle night. Come, loving, black-browed night. Give me my Romeo, and when he shall die, take him and cut him out in little stars, and he will make the face of heaven so fine that all the world will be in love with night. Are you all right?
How are you going to read that out with Marion sitting in front of you?
I'm going to do it flawlessly, because she trusts me. She's given me this huge responsibility, and it's an honour. The one thing that I can do for our friend John.
You're too good for me.
Yes, I am. But I like having you around because you make me feel superior.
I'd forgotten how to laugh.
Don't ever do that.
How are you going to sum up John in 15 minutes?
That's what's keeping me awake at night.
He should have a blue plaque, shouldn't he? International peacekeeper, lots of gongs and honours, half-page obit in the Times.
I love the line about his matchless communication skills were never put to better use than in his nurturing of lifelong friendships.
Mm.
I'm going to use that.
Strange things, eulogies, when you say all the things you should have said to them when they were alive.
But didn't.
I think we should write each other's eulogies.
I don't need to write yours because you told me I was going to go first.
That was before my health scare.
You didn't have a health scare. You had too much coffee.
But look at John. He was incredibly fit. And he went like that. We need to be prepared.
I'm always prepared. I was a queen scout.
But if somebody dies, you're in no fit state to compose your thoughts and memories. You should have it ready. So should we do that?
What?
Write each other's eulogies before we have to.
Let me get this one done first.
Then will you write my eulogy?
Why?
I just said why.
Yes, but that's not the truth, is it? You just want to know what I'm going to say about you.
Of course I do.
Most partners find it impossible to stand up and talk about their other half. Eulogies are often delivered by friends, like this one.
I don't want my friends to deliver my eulogy.
Why not? Diana or Sally could do it. Or Jackie has known you from school days.
Oh, God, no.
Is that such a bad idea?
Jackie, I forgot. The reunion is the same day as the funeral, isn't it?
You can get together some other time.
Oh, but this is special. We couldn't do it last year, obviously, so now she's worked so hard at organising this and getting us all together.
She'll understand.
Remind me to call her the minute we get home.
Tell her if you're not there, she can write your eulogy. Absent friends.
No, I want you to write my eulogy. What would you say about me?
How do I love thee? Let me count the ways.
Seriously, I want to be sure you say nice things.
Why don't you write it then?
Write my own eulogy? That seems like
a really good idea.
Well, it does, yes, but I can't do that.
Why not?
It's what other people think about you, not what you think about yourself.
Yes, but who's going to know? I won't tell them. You can write your own eulogy and what you want me to say, and I'll just change the personal pronouns. Sorted. Don't know why I didn't think of that sooner. And hey, that could work for your birthday and anniversary cards too. You write the message you'd like to read, and I'll copy it out. Oh, hang on. Also, you find the card that you like, so I won't have to spend endless hours debating whether to get you a soulful Labrador or a high-kicking flapper and have to watch your face fall with disappointment as you open it and I realise once again I've made the wrong choice.
That wouldn't work.
It would for me.
But I want to know what you really think about me and how you'll remember me.
OK, but you start. What would you say about me?
Oh, I'd say you're the one I couldn't wait to see if we'd been apart, even if I'd only been swimming or at work or at my mother's, and I got so excited that I was coming home to you, I'd stop the car up the road and touch up my lipstick and have a quick squirt of Estee Lauder. Maybe I'd only been to Waitrose for meatballs, but then I would rush in.
Let me stop you right there.
Why?
Because this is my eulogy you're writing, and it seems to be all about you. In the car, in Waitrose, at your mother's.
It's about the effect you have on me.
Nah, vanity project.
Remember when you bought me Lillian Hellman's book, Pentimento?
No.
Well, all right, I bought it for my birthday, for you to give to me. And you wrapped it up once I'd found you some wrapping paper.
Oh, yes, got it now. What about it?
She wrote about her life with Dashiell Hammett. They'd been together for 20 years.
Lightweights.
Some of them bad, a few of them shabby.
Much like us.
Exactly. But she couldn't wait to talk to him, to hear what he thought about the news, at a parting guest, a walk in the woods. Their relationship survived for the strongest of reasons, their pleasure in each other. They were living the best of times together, she said.
Wasn't he a violent, promiscuous drunk?
Sometimes.
And she was famous for being economical with the truth, as I recall.
I never said they were perfect.
You think we're like them?
I know they were flawed, but they had passion for each other. And I thought, That's how I feel about you. It's the physical presence of someone who's totally on your side, waiting for you, looking out for you. Marion was telling me yesterday that she walked into the kitchen thinking, I must tell John this, and then came the icy shock that he would never be there to hear anything she said again. It's losing the togetherness of a good marriage, and I can see why she chose Juliet's speech, because she wants him still to be there, somewhere, in the stars. But that's not the sort of thing I'd tell you over breakfast, so I'd put it in your eulogy.
Well, I won't be there to hear it.
I've given you a preview. Want to know how it ends?
There's more.
Yes. So I zhuzh up my hair, run through the door looking for you, wanting to share my news with you, and you've got your head under the car bonnet or you're watching the cricket, and you don't even look up.
That'll get a laugh, and that's a rare thing at a funeral.
Why are you looking over there?
Thought that dog looked a bit like Bonzo.
It doesn't look at all like Bonzo. Are you crying?
I'm not crying.
I'm glad you're crying.
Are you?
Yeah. Let it all out. It's John, isn't it?
No. Well, it is a bit, but mostly it's you.
I've been waiting so long to be where I'm going in the sunshine of your love.
For now, so over to Helen at the Weather Centre.
Thank you and good night, Helen.
Oh, I must have dropped off, shattered.
I'm not surprised. Grieving is very tiring, isn't it? But your eulogy, it was perfect.
One of the toughest things I've ever done. So many stories.
Oh, it's been an emotional day.
It has. Have you finished the reunion Zoom call?
Yeah. Have you got a tissue?
Yeah. Still thinking about the funeral?
No, it's just the girls.
But I thought I could hear you laughing.
Yes, it was lovely.
So those are happy tears, aren't they?
Of course they are. After all the sad tears we've cried today, it makes a change, doesn't it?
So tell me how it went. Did everyone have a dirty martini as instructed?
Yes. Not there first. Except for Smithy and Taz.
Just give me the highlights. What did you talk about?
Literature, art, politics, comparative religions.
Don't believe you.
Okay, we talked about why eyebrows go grey, the importance of tightening the pelvic floor, and whether coral nail varnish looks a bit cheap in the winter.
Girl stuff.
Also, we talked about patronising husbands.
Do you know any?
It was all very good fun.
So what made you cry?
Because when I phoned Jackie the other day to tell her why I couldn't come to the reunion, I said we'd been talking about friends writing our eulogy, and you said you thought she could do mine.
And you said no chance.
Yes, and she laughed, but then she said it got her thinking. Usually we sit around when we get together and come up with the odd anecdote, but she put everyone's name in a hat, and whoever's name they drew out, they had to do a one-minute presentation on what that girl was like at school.
Brilliant idea. Pity you weren't there.
Well, I was, sort of. I couldn't do one, but Jackie talked about me on Zoom just now.
And she didn't warn you?
No. The girls were all in on it and they'd torn each other to pieces earlier, according to Taz, so I didn't know what to expect.
Is that why you came down for another drink?
Yes, and it wasn't enough.
Oh, dear.
Jackie talked about all my detentions and that I was caught with the gardener's son in the tool shed.
Appropriate.
And got banned from games, which was unfortunate as I was games captain.
And still are in so many ways.
And then she said that there was no one she'd rather have on her side.
Are we talking about hockey or netball?
Because when she was being bullied by the terrible twins, June and Marcia, and they gave her a Chinese burn and stole her dinner money, I went and got it back for her, which anybody could have done because the twins were really cowards. I'd forgotten all about it.
Was that when you came down for the third drink?
Uh-huh. Anyway, she said a lot of really, really nice things. And then...
And then what? She said something nasty?
No, not at all. She said that they decided to take a vote earlier on who was the most popular girl in school.
And it wasn't you. It's OK. I still love you.
It was me. She said everyone wanted to be my friend and the younger ones had a crush on me. And I also had the shortest miniskirt. And I haven't changed a bit, they said. And they all raised a glass. to me.
Wow. That's some eulogy.
It's not a eulogy.
Yes, it is. We've hijacked the word for funeral speeches, but it just means words of praise, and they were.
Oh.
So, most popular girl. Is there a cash prize to go with it?
Sadly, no. But it made me very happy.
Me too. And very proud.
You had nothing to do with it.
I'm proud that I won the heart of the most popular girl in school. Oh, hi.
You fixed the gate.
Yep, it swings like a pendulum do.
The garage door's still a bit wonky.
Let me just bask in the glory of one job well done. How was Marion?
Almost serene. I asked her if she was taking anything. She said wine. But it's really going to hit her when Callum goes back to Australia next week.
She could go with him.
She could, but it's too soon. Still, he's dealt with everything and sorted out loads of stuff, and he said, I know Mum's friends will look after her.
Of course we will. I can do some odd jobs.
When you've finished our odd jobs.
Look, I've dug out my old tool belt for when I'm on the move.
Steady. You'll be giving Bob the Builder sleepless nights.
I know you like the look of a man who knows his spanners from his mole wrench.
Ooh, I'm finding it hard to control myself.
It's even got a pouch for the WD-40. I'll go and give the gate a squirt.
I'll just get changed and then I'll sweep up the sawdust.
I'll do that. Stop.
Why?
There's something at the door.
Something? What does that mean?
It means what it says. By the door, there is something.
Yes, me.
Apart from you. Well, not apart from you, actually. Because of you.
You're not making any sense.
Look at the door.
I'm looking at the door. Same old door, scuff marks.
OK, widen your search. Look round the door.
You mean behind it?
No, I bloody don't.
Oh, all right, don't get ratty.
Was ever a surprise harder to spring?
A surprise... Is this a blue plaque?
At last! Yes, it is.
On the wall, we've got a blue plaque.
I know.
Who put it there?
Me.
So somebody important lived here?
Yes.
Well done for finding out. Who was it?
Read it yourself.
God, you're so tetchy.
Sorry. Well?
The most popular girl in school lives here with a very lucky man. Oh, that's absolutely wonderful, darling. And I'm a very lucky woman.
You are.
Thank you.
Well, you said you wanted a blue plaque.
I also said I wanted a Lamborghini. Is it in the garage?
Is there no pleasing this woman?
You have pleased me. It's an amazing thing to do. Did you have any help?
If you mean did I have to consult your friends for advice, no. It was all me.
Even more impressed.
Does it make up for the bagless Dyson I bought you for our anniversary?
Still a way to go, but it's a big step in the right direction. Let me give you a hug.
It's worth more than a hug.
Oh, it'll have to do for now. We're in the street. Ooh, what's that?
You're squashing my measuring tape. Did you say you were caught with the gardener's son in the tool shed?
Yes, I was.
We have a tool shed round the back.
I know, but I don't want to get banned from games again.
Let's risk it.
Say, have I told you lately that I love you? Have I told you there's no one above you?
Conversations from a Long Marriage
was written by Jan Etherington.
It starred Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allam.
It was produced by Claire Jones
and was a BBC Studios production. And you can join Joanna and Roger at the same time next week when Roger meets a former student with a crush on him and Joanna makes a confession.